'cause Jesus died upon the cross. He's put a little bit of David in me. In the Bible we have read about a man who was small, just a shepherd in the land. And one day as the giant sought him out with one stone, David won without a doubt. I said, Satan, you have lost, 'cause Jesus died upon the cross. He's put a little bit of David in me.
Makes no difference if you're large or small. What really counts is if you stand or fall. Best of all, we need Jesus by our side, for he's the one who really knows if we have tried.
Well, there's a little bit of David in me. Satan tried to keep my soul from being free. I said, Satan, you have lost, 'cause Jesus died upon the cross. He's put a little bit of David in me. Saying you have lost, 'cause Jesus died upon the cross. He's put a little bit of David in me.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. You have your Bible open to Galatians chapter number 5. If you are part of the department leaders or one of the three men that I mentioned, Mike Melfelt, John Shiflett, Benny Short, please, before you leave tonight, if you have not already, and perhaps you did, get you a copy of the agenda and the financial report for the meeting coming up Monday. It'll be a special meeting, and we would appreciate everyone's attendance at that meeting, okay? Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. The scripture has been read in your hearing, and I want to talk with you a little bit about this thing of the conflict within our soul. We all have conflict going on in our lives. There's a battle raging, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. We talked some about it this past Wednesday night. There's three things that I want to draw your attention to primarily, and that is this. So you may want to write this down. First of all, we'll talk about the contention that is described, and we're going to talk about that. The word contention, I think, is to me, when you look at this, look what it says in verse number 17, the flesh lusteth. And we're going to talk about that. So that word there makes you think of contention. Then look, if you would, when it says contrary. Contrary, in verse 17 it says, and these are contrary the one to the other. And then it says against, in verse number 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against. So you have this picture, these words, that there's a conflict going on, against and one lusting or desiring and against the other, and then there's contrariness, there's contrary. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then second of all, we're going to talk about the control. There is a fight for a control of your life. Now, there used not to be, but when you get saved, the fight is on. Amen. Right? I mean, it's on. You see, before we got saved, well, we were living for the devil. And our father was the devil. That's right. But when you get saved, you see, then we have now two natures. Now, some people think, well, you know, when a person gets saved, the old nature, which is that Adamic nature, and that is the old flesh, that old nature that you're born with, that physical, that nature that comes at the time of birth, and it's Adamic because it comes from his fallen nature. Everyone is born a sinner. Now, there are those who would teach you, and it's erroneously, that you become a sinner. No, you're born a sinner. You're born a sinner. You see, that's why we have to teach children at a very young age not to lie. You don't teach children to lie. They already know how to lie and steal. Why? Sinful nature, fallen nature, depraved nature. And so there's a control now when you get saved. Now you have two natures, not one. All right? You have just one nature, you're in trouble. You've never been born from above. But when you get born again, you see, you receive the divine nature, the Holy Spirit of God, and that makes two natures, and they're both in you, and there's a battle going on for control of your life, not your destiny, okay? Not your destiny. That's been settled when you get saved. So there's contention against, contrary, lusting against, and then there's for control there, and then the last thing we'll talk about is conduct. Once we give control to one or the other, he begins in verse number 19 to talk about conduct. If you allow the flesh to win out, well, your life is going to be controlled, and the conduct of your life could lead you into this area here. But if the Spirit, if you allow the Spirit to control your life, you're Spirit-filled, I'm Spirit-filled, and he controls our life, well, then the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in our life. And so let's talk about that in a little more detail. Okay, first of all, let's look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's, you can't get any more plain than that. If you walk in the Spirit, now the word walk there, it literally means just walk around. That's what it means. If you just walk around in the Spirit, if you just follow the Spirit's lead, walk around in the Spirit, do what the Spirit says, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, the Bible says that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the flesh has this desire to do what the world does, to please self, to go against the teachings of God. The flesh has no desire for spiritual things. They're contrary. Look at verse 17. The Bible says they're contrary the one to the other. They're opposed to one another. They're adversaries to one another. They're at odds at one another. The flesh and the Spirit do not work together. They work against one another. And so here he said, you need to understand there's a contrast. Now there's two adversaries, the flesh and the Spirit. And that's it. Now there's three enemies, all right? The Christian has three enemies. Someone name one for me. Say it out loud. I don't mind. Satan, the devil. He's our enemy. He's our adversary. That's what the word devil means. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. What's another one? The world. The world is our enemy. Listen, I don't mean when I say the world, God loves the world. The world system is the enemy of the Christian. The world system is under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. And so it's our enemy, you see. The world, the devil, and then the third is here, the flesh. Well, in 1 John chapter number 2, we're told of these enemies. The flesh, the devil, the world, they're our enemies. But that, listen, I want to hone in on that one enemy, the flesh. See, there's many people, they have this statement. I remember when I was a young man, everybody running around saying, the devil made me do it. Did you know the devil never made you do anything? The devil never made you do anything. He may have influenced you to do something. He may have tempted you to do something. But the devil has never made you do anything. God made you a free will agent. If you did it, you chose to do it. That's right. And so I want to talk about this enemy that I really believe is the greatest enemy that we fight and that we face. And it's self. It's us. We're our own worst enemy. And here, Paul said, there's going to be a fight. You know, when I first got saved, and no doubt when you first got saved, I really didn't expect this fight. I thought, now I'm saved. Hey, I'm going to church, and I've got religion. That's what I thought I had. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know the terms. And I thought, well, I got religion. I'm a church member. I'm good to go, you know. Man, it's going to be easy. And boy, I tell you, it didn't take me long. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I got saved on a Sunday night, not in church. I got saved in my home. And that Monday, when I went to work, I had won a bunch of bets. Now, I don't, listen, young people, gambling is wrong. I don't care what the state says. And don't let them try to tell you they're helping schools. That's a whole nother thing. But listen, gambling's wrong. It's wrong. And I was doing wrong. Well, I was a sinner, but I got saved. So I go to work, and I was punching in. You know, I worked a job where you're punching in the clock. Young man, 19 years old, and I punched in the clock, and everybody was around making excuses on why they couldn't pay me my bet. And I told them, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. And boy, they got concerned. They thought, oh my goodness, he's got something up his sleeve. He's going to slice my tires or something, you know. Well, I was a good guy. I wouldn't have done anything like that. But anyway, I said, listen, I got religion. I don't want your money. Nobody had to tell me that. I just felt that way in my heart. So we go out on the floor and we start working. I was working for a truss fabricating company. And we start building the truss. And about 10 minutes, 15 minutes in, some guy talking to me about this religion that I had. And he says, oh, Freeman, you know, you got religion. Tell me about it. Bam! I hit my thumb with my hammer. And I didn't know those words still come out of my mouth. But they did. And then I caught myself and I'm thinking, whoa, man, I got to find something else to say. I can't say that. I mean, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I can't say that. And then I got real concerned. I thought, is that okay? I mean, is that possible? I didn't know. Now, perhaps you had an experience similar to that. And maybe there's somebody here, you're going through things and you wonder, why do I do this? Why do I say that? Why do I fight these fights? I'm going to tell you tonight, you have two natures. That's why you fight this fight. When you got saved, joining that Adamic nature, that sinful fleshly nature, is the divine nature of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And now you have two natures. And the Bible says here in verse number 16, there's the Spirit and then there's the flesh. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But now guess what's on the flip side of that? If you don't, you will. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the negative side of this positive. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another way of saying that is if you don't walk in the Spirit, you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so someone's going to control your actions and my actions and your behavior and my behavior. It's either going to be old self, the old flesh, Adamic nature, or it's going to be the Spirit of God. If self controls me, if self controls you, I can tell you right now, it's going to go against God. It's going to be ungodliness. Listen to me now. It's going to be ungodliness. If the Spirit controls me, it's going to be godliness. If self controls me, I'm going to get tangled up in the world. I'm going to be conformed to the world. If the Spirit controls me, I'm going to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. If the Spirit of God controls my life. But now I get to choose. But I can't do it on my own. I'm glad that there's a power in me, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. My job is to yield to His leading, to His guidance in my life. And so that contrast, that contention there. The word lust, you see it there when it says, you shall not fulfill, verse 16, the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth. You see that E-T-H there? Lusteth. Listen to me now. The flesh lusteth. That's present perfect tense. You know what that means? Continuation. This battle's not going to stop. You say, now, preacher, what I'm going to do is I'm going to beat down this flesh. I'm going to beat down this flesh for 10 years, and I'm going to win the war, and I'm not going to have any more battles with the flesh. You're going to battle the flesh until God takes you out of here. I'm going to battle the flesh until God takes me out of here. That word lusteth, E-T-H, continuation, present perfect tense, which means now, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next year, until we leave here, there's going to be a constant fight between the Spirit and the flesh. You say, well, I won today. I walked in the Spirit. Amen. Get up tomorrow and do it again. Right? Right, brethren? It's never-ending war. It's never-ending war. And so that word lust, it means fix the desire upon. Strong passion. There's a battle. Battle. Then, look at this word in verse 17. Contrary. What's it mean? It means to withstand. It means to line up forces face to face. It means to be in the trench, to dig deep, to hold the ground. Notice what it says in verse 17. That's what the word contrary. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit, and the understood verb there, is lusteth against the flesh. And these are contrary. They're dug in against one another. Listen to me. They're holding ground. The Spirit of God says, I don't want you to live in the flesh. And the flesh is saying, I don't want you to yield to the Spirit. And so there's a battle. You see the battle there. And they're dug in now. This is reality. It's reality. You say, preacher, sometimes I get tired. And sometimes I get tired. We do. We get tired. But I'm thankful that though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. See, God will give you fresh anointing. God will give you fresh oil. Listen to me now. God will give you something fresh. God will give you something new, something that will help you. God will give you some unction, some anointing, a little touch that will get you through that dry time. But you've got to lean upon the Lord. Don't think you can conjure it up in yourself. Don't jump out of the bed now and click your heels and go on your way and say, I've got this. Oh, no, no, you're messing up. We've got to trust the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this in just a moment. So here we have this contention. There's adversary. Then there's the appetite. We talked about that. The flesh, of course, ungodly. The spirit, godly. The flesh, please self. The spirit, please God. The flesh, longing after this old life. The spirit, longing after the new life. The flesh, wanting to conform you to this old world. The spirit, wanting to conform you to God's Son. The flesh, eyes on this now. The spirit, eyes on then. Got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to remember, this is not all there is. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporal. So many people have jumped tomorrow, have jumped the future for now. Now. I want to get in the feel good now. Messing up. Messing up. And so here it is. We have the contention. Number two, the control. The control. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So there's a jousting. There's a struggle for control here. And these are contrary, verse 17, the one to the other. Look at what it says here. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. You been there? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Look at the preacher now. You know what I'm talking about tonight? You don't have to pretend with me. I'm flesh like you. So that ye can not do the things that you would. So I wanted to do right, but I didn't. I had every intention of doing this, but I did that. I made a poor choice, a poor decision. I did a wrong thing. Listen, that's because of the battle. That's because of the battle. You're not going to win them all now. I wish I could stand up here and tell you, you're going to win them all, folks. You're not going to win them all. All right? Listen to me. If you're going to go down swinging. That's right. Go down fighting. Fight. Don't you give in. You fight. The Bible says we're to resist the devil. We're to resist the devil. Now, personally, I've never been arrested. Never. There's been many times, unfortunately, I could have and should have, but I've never been arrested. Come here, Isaiah. I'm going to choose the littlest guy in here. Amen. So I'm a policeman. I've never been arrested. Now, I've been with people who were. Okay? I've watched people get arrested. And I've seen people resist arrest. Okay? And I've seen them get strong-armed. Now, I'm not going to strong-arm Isaiah. Amen. But if you think that you are not to resist the devil, and resist the flesh. If you just allow and you just give in, get away from me, Isaiah. Get away. I mean, hey, fight hard. Fight hard. Listen. Hey, you got to fight, man. You got to fight. You can't give up.
Turn around and punch it.
That's right. Just don't kick me. And don't listen to Dr. Thompson this time. Listen to him another time. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaiah. That's why I didn't choose Dr. Thompson. I knew he'd turn around and punch me. Amen. Thank you, Isaiah. You got to fight, right? You got to fight. There's a fight going on. What's the Bible say? Resist the devil. Resist him. You got to resist temptation. You got to fight the flesh. You can't give in to it. It's got to, listen, we got to have some fight to us. Some people just they just give up and give in and throw in the towel and say, well, you know, I can't do this. Well, you listen, you must. You must. You got to have some fight. You got to resist. You got to pray. Sometimes it's a struggle to pray. Sometimes it's a struggle to read your Bible. You think I jump up every day and say, oh, I can't wait to dive in the Bible and read the Bible for hours. Listen, I have flesh like you have flesh. Your flesh don't like to read the Bible. My flesh don't like to read the Bible. Amen. Come on now. Your flesh doesn't like to pray. Your flesh gets weary and well-doing. My flesh doesn't like to pray. My flesh gets weary and well-doing. Amen. We're flesh. That's flesh. And the flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with the Spirit. They're lusting against one another. There's a passion. There's contrariness. There's a fight going on, brethren. A fight. Why? Someone's going to control my thought life. Someone's going to control my behavior. Someone's going to control me. It's either going to be me or God. Who's it going to be for you? We can't just give in and say, I'm just going to do whatever, you know, and that's just, yeah, if it feels good, do it. Oh, no. No, you can't do that. If it's right, do it. Not if it feels good, do it. You listen to the Spirit of God, He'll tell you what's right. Every time. So, he said, there's this control. Against. You see that word there? Against, it means, that it comes from the root word down. Defeat. Suppress. There's a suppression. The old flesh says, oh, I don't listen. I was told this week, and well, I tell you, that the flesh is, it's a terrible thing. This old nature, this old sin nature that's in us will want us to doubt God. Want us to doubt God's word. Want us to doubt God in everything that He does. Doubt God's way. Question God. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. We all have this. Every one of us. You say, preacher, do you ever doubt God? I'm flesh, aren't I? Everyone doubts God. Everyone doubts God. Why? We have this old fallen, Adamic, depraved flesh. Flesh. But then there's the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And the Spirit of God, as we saw this morning, is our comforter. He's our go-between. He's our come alongside. He's our teacher. He's the Spirit of truth. And He teaches us. And He empowers us. And He energizes us. And He equips us to fight the good fight of faith. And so here He said in verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And so when you find yourself not doing things that you know that you would do, you remember that the Spirit of God is leading you to do, and the flesh is fighting for you not to do. There's a battle. A battle. You say, well, how do I win this battle? Well, let's see what the Scripture says. Look at verse number 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, some people think you win this battle by making a set of rules and saying, well, I'm going to keep these rules. Rules are not going to get you spiritual. Now, listen to me. Hear me. Law does not make you spiritual. Rules. It's not laws on the outside. It's the Redeemer on the inside. It's power on the inside. It's going to help us to live the victorious Christian life. We saw that in the Scripture this morning. And here it is again. Verse number 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. I want you to go back to verse number 16. And we did this Wednesday. I want you to underline something in verse 16. You see where it says? The lust of the flesh. Verse number 16. The last phrase there. The lust of the flesh. Now you get down into verse number 19. The works of the flesh. If the lust of the flesh are not dealt with, they will become the works of the flesh. All right? Everything begins with a thought process. And then if that thought is not squelched, if that thought is not turned over to the power of the Holy Spirit and defeated, that thought will be conceived, and it will bring lust. When it is conceived, bringing forth sin. I just quoted James 1:13. And sin, when it is finished, bringing forth death. So it begins with a thought, a passion. And if it's not dealt with, and we're going to deal with that right here in just a moment, your thought life is very important. It's very important. And the devil is always, in the old flesh, always wants to think on the wrong things, right? Amen. Come on, folks. Amen. Yes, it's right. We're in a battle. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your control, for your actions, for your thoughts, your deeds. Notice what he says here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And everything in verse number 19 is sexual. Look at it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that's thought life. You look the root of that word up, an idea. Listen, it means to think immorally. To think immorally. Why? Because when you think immorally, it will not take long before you act immorally. That's why. You got to deal with it while it's a thought. If you don't, it becomes an action. So he said adultery. You know what adultery is? Fornication. That's perversiveness. All right? Adultery is extramarital. Fornication is premarital. In its broadest form. Uncleanness is thinking immorally. Look at the next word. Lasciviousness. You know what that word means? It means no shame, unbridled, bold. Do it and be proud of it. It means coming out of the closet, if you will. We don't care what you think. We're going to live in open sin and you're going to like it. That's what that word means. That's the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh is, no preacher going to tell me, he's saying here with this word lasciviousness, I'm bold and I'm going to do what I think's right. You see, when the flesh is let go, there is no extent to how down, how deep, how far the flesh will go. So we have these in verse number 19, sexual. Now look at these in verse number 20. The first two here are spiritual. Idolatry. Now we know what idolatry is. It's anything that comes between us and worship of God. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be your wife. It could be your children. There's all kinds of things that people idolize. Movie stars and singing people and all kinds of things. Idolatry, he said. Then he said this, witchcraft. You look that word up and you'll find that the root of that word is sorcery. Which we get the word pharmacy, pharmakia, which means drugs. And when you begin to dig a little deeper, it means drugs that lead to sensations that cause people to worship evil. Hear me, witchcraft. These things that people are doing, the flesh is tilted that way. Tilted that way. But the spirit leads us away from this. But if this not dealt with, this is where people end up. You say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, wait a minute now. Hold it. I recall one man saying that, and he ended up doing the very thing he said he would never do. So you be careful what you say you'd never do. I want to tell you something. You don't know what you might do or not do. As a matter of fact, some of you, your attitude, and I'm talking to some of these young people in here tonight, you better listen to me. Your attitude is going to get you in trouble. I'm going to predict that if you don't get right with God, and real soon, you're going to find yourself in this list right here. Because don't you think that you're stronger than the devil? You can use your little petty excuses and say this and that, but I'm going to tell you what it is. You're backslid on God. Now listen to me now. This is serious business. This is not a game. This is reality. And the flesh will gobble you up and take you down and ruin your life. You do not want that. And I do not want that. None of us want that. But now don't think that you can overcome with an attitude. Look at what he said here now. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. These are sordid sins. Scandalous, hatred. You know what that word means? Malice. Malice. Hatred means, I looked it up. malice, anger, spiteful. Then look at it, what it says at your hatred. Variance. What's that word mean, preacher? Anybody know? Quarreling. Quarreling. Never can get along with anybody. It's always everybody else's fault. Always everyone else's fault. You're a quarreler. You're always quarreling with people. Variant. And the scripture says that that's the work of the flesh. That is for a person that is not filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. We call it, in this generation, drama. Always got something going. Contention. Variance is the word in verse number 20. Emulation. What's it mean, preacher? Well, I looked it up. Jealousy. You're jealous of people. Who does she think she is? Well, who do they think they are? Emulation. Jealousy. Listen to me now. These are the works of the flesh that will control us, that will ruin us, that will be our downfall if we don't deal with them. After emulation, wrath, seething anger is the word there. Strife, the word strife, self-seeking. It's got to be all about you. What's in it for me? That's strife. Seditions, divisiveness. It comes from the word pull apart. Heresies, make it up. Make it up. Usually dealing with doctrine. Just make it up the way you want it to be instead of the way it is. That's a heresy. Heresies, he said. Envyings. Whereas emulation is jealous of people, envy is jealous of things. Murders. I found this one very interesting when I began to look it up. It not only means to take innocent life, but it specified human life. I heard somebody say, well, he murdered a dog, and that's not proper. They murdered that cow. No, they butchered it. Amen. You look that word up. You see, I'm not going to get into that. Murder, taking innocent life, dealing with humans. Drunkenness, I think that speaks for itself. Revelings, parties, it comes from the word which we get our word orgy from. Sexual lasciviousness, revelings, partying, no scruples, no morals, no guidelines. He said, the works of the flesh, here they are. I want you to do something for the preacher. In verse number 19, underline the word works, and notice carefully that it's a plural word. The works of the flesh are these. And then he says, he names these, and then this is what he said in verse number 21. Don't miss it now. And such like. And such like. In other words, this is not an exhaustive list. Things like this. Things like this. So well, I'm glad mine wasn't down there. Yours is in there, under and such like. Mine's under there. Okay? There's no limit, hear me now, to what the flesh will do when left to itself. We need God to help us, brethren. Oh, we think, listen, we don't ever want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We think, well, you know, I'm a good old fella. Oh, without God, we're all just like pigs running back to the slop. We're like dogs returning to eat its own vomit. Hear me now. We're depraved. We're wicked. We're evil. We're dark. We need God to help us. We get saved. We get the divine nature, the Holy Spirit of God to help us. Now, the Spirit of God's not going to get us to a place where we look down on people and we think we're better than others. But it's going to help us live a life that's honoring to God. It's going to help us live a life that will bring glory to God. And they will exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's what he said in verse number 22. Well, I'll finish verse 21. He said, I told you also in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, does that mean that a person that has practiced idolatry cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Paul said, they who do such things. When you read that, he's saying, if this is their life, if this is their life, if this is the way they conduct their life, it's not that they've lost their salvation, they've never been saved. Paul's writing to a church here. And he's saying, if your life is characterized constantly by this, there's never been a change in your life, you've never been saved. And so I want you to listen very carefully now. If your life is full of negativity, bad attitude, sin, no desire for God, no fight in your life, it doesn't trouble you to do wrong, it doesn't trouble you to slander, to gossip, to curse, to drink, to live any way you want to live, you've got a problem. And you need to address that problem. And I pray that God would have mercy on you and you would understand that your need is not rededication, it's salvation. You must be born again. Now, he said, for those that are saved, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, not works, the fruit, okay, singular, of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, not the works are, but the fruit is, and here it is. I'm just going to mention these to you. Love, joy, and peace, that's Godward. These are things that God produces in our lives. Love and joy and peace. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Ghost. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter. And with the peace of God in Philippians chapter 4 that passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We have these in our life. The fruit is something that God produces in our life. It's not something you work for or try to conjure up. It's yielding to the Holy Spirit, and He will yield this fruit in our lives. Is this your life? Does this characterize, which characterizes your life? Look at it. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering. Are you patient with people? Gentleness. Are you kind? Goodness. Intrinsically, are you just good? Are you just a good gal or a good guy? You know? Are you nasty? Mean-spirited? Oh, listen, the fruit of the Spirit brings forth these characteristics in our lives, these graces. He also mentioned meekness. Now, Jesus was meek. Don't confuse meekness with weakness. Some people do. Don't do that. Meekness is power under control. Jesus said in Matthew 11, I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek is knowing when to assert yourself and how to assert yourself. Meekness. Then he said temperance. That's control. Under control of the Spirit. Controlling your spirit or allowing God to control your spirit. Not always flying off the handle. Now here's the fruit of the Spirit. Which characterizes you? This will tell you right here. What's controlling me? The flesh or the Spirit? One of the others controlling you. One of the others controlling me. There's a fight going on. Who's winning? Who's winning the fight? The flesh? Variance? Divisive? Hateful? Or the Spirit? Meek? Good? Gentle? As we yield to the Holy Spirit, He produces these things in our lives. Now, we all have our moments, don't we? Don't we? Amen. Well, I tell you, this crowd don't want to admit. Listen, I'm just going to break it down to you. You're sinners.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we got that out of the way. People say, well, you know, living the Christian life's easy, preacher. Well, I don't know about that. Living the Christian life is supernatural. I yield to God and He lives His life through me. That's really what God has asked me to do. Notice what Paul said here. Verse number 24. Verse number 23 says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Have you done it? Have you crucified the flesh today? You'll have to crucify it again. Listen, this old flesh has a way of ripping itself off the cross and trying to take over again. You'll have to crucify it again tomorrow. You will. It'll rip itself off and come at you again. You'll have to crucify it the next day. It's just It's a constant thing. Verse 25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, are you controlled by the Spirit of God? You know if you are. I know when I am. I don't have to wonder. I wonder if I'm controlling me or if the Spirit's controlling me. What's going on here? You know. I know. We know. You filled with the Spirit? The Spirit controlling you? Are you living in the Spirit? Watch it now. If you live in the Spirit, verse number 25, let us also walk. In other words, if the Spirit controls you, then listen and He'll guide you every step. If you're living in the Spirit, He's controlling you, you'll listen. He'll tell you every little step. The Spirit of God controls every aspect of your life, every decision, if we will allow Him to. If we will allow Him to. Verse number 26, as we close, says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So here it is. There's this fight going on in us, and it's going on in every one of us. From the youngest, I don't know who the youngest child is in here tonight, to the eldest adult, and I think I know who that is, Dr. Thompson. From the youngest to the eldest, there's a fight. Dr. Thompson's been doing this a long time, he and Miss Thompson. They would both stand up to testify to you, the fight's still real. The fight's still real. Okay? It doesn't go away when you retire at 62, 65, 70, 75, 80. If you live to be 95, 100, the fight between the flesh and the spirit is still going to be real. It's not going to go away. It's not. You say, preacher, I wished it would. Well, don't we all? One day it's going to. You see, we have been saved, now listen to me, from the penalty of sin. That's already taken place. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. Right now, we've been saved from the power of sin. But thank God one day, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. God's going to take us out of here. Amen? We're going to be airlifted right out of here. So what about you? Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Who's controlling? You get to decide. You get to decide. I get to decide. Walk in the flesh. That's a decision that you, it's a choice. Walk in the Spirit. That means you get a choice. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're going to live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Tell you, it's a pretty nasty list there in Galatians chapter 5. You read that list and you read things like murder and adultery. You think, wow, you know, Christians? Yeah, I'm thinking of a pretty good man of God that kind of swept two of those up in one act. David. Just so happened to be the only man in all the Bible that God called a man after his own heart. So don't stand there and say, well, you know, while I might be a little divisive sometime and have a little variance in my life, I would never do that. Well, you never know what you might do. If you let your flesh just go its way and do its thing, all right? You got to bring your body under submission, under control. You got to buffet your body, Paul's wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You got to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Have you done that? Every day of your life, you ought to get up and say, Spirit of God, I yield my life to you. Fill me. God, I repent of my sin. I empty myself of me, and I pray you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Guide me and lead me this day. And yield yourself to the Spirit of God every day. Every day. The Spirit of God's real. He's a person. He lives in you. Communicate with Him, and He will communicate with you. The Spirit of God will communicate with you now. It's very real. And it's the only way we're going to live the victorious Christian life. It's the only way we're going to have peace and joy in the Christian experience and be overcomers is to communicate and yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads together.